86 T's and C's apply. Your story matters. ABSA. The headlines. President Hichilema's attendance at mining Indaba to bring more investment. Social anthropologist warns groupings against endorsements ahead of August pause. And in global news, Japanese people brave snow to vote in snap election. Good afternoon, Malumba Malunda with the Phoenix FM News. State House says President Hage Hichilema's participation in the Mining Indaba 2026 in South Africa is expected to attract significant investment to Zambia. President Hichilema will deliver a keynote address at the conference, Africa's largest mining investment event in Cape Town tomorrow. In a statement, State House Chief Communications Specialist Clayson Hamasaka notes that increased mining investment translates to more employment opportunities for locals and boosts government revenue for essential services like schools, clinics and roads. Mr. Hamasaka explains that the UPND government has been working to position Zambia as a top investment destination since 2021, and the efforts are yielding results. He adds that government aims to increase copper production, which would further enhance revenue collection. Social anthropologist Dr. James Musonda has expressed concern over sudden support for the ruling UPND government by some associations during an election year, labeling it organized cadreism. This follows our Civic Duty Association of CEDA's recent endorsement of the UPND ahead of the August elections, citing the party's economic discipline, respect for institutions and national unity. But in an interview, Dr. Musonda has emphasized that associations like OSIDA should unite the country, not align with specific parties. He recalls similar undertakings during the Patriotic Front regime, citing Christians for Lungu, and had warned that such associations risk being targeted if the ruling party loses, stressing the need for neutrality. In an interview with Phoenix News, Dr. Musonda has urged groupings to instead prioritize national interests over partisan loyalties, promoting a more inclusive and stable political environment.
What we've seen in that act from that particular organization is an act of cadreism. It's just an organized form of cadreism. And we saw this even under the Patriotic Front, where you saw people organizing themselves as Christian for Lungu and everything, something like this. We have already seen all those things happening.
The Governance Accountability Initiative has commended the clergy on their clarion call to stop politicians from exploiting churches for campaign advantage. This follows calls by Northwestern Province Battle Cry for Zambia founder Apostle Obrien Mayambu that the church was a place where people need to worship and should not be used for politics. Speaking in an interview with Phoenix News, Initiative Executive Director Gabriel Milo says the call comes at a critical time and aims to shield religious institutions from being used as political props and protect their sanctity, integrity and dignity. Mr. Milo has advised politicians to only engage their people outside when they visit churches, allowing engagement without intertwining political ambition with worship. He has challenged politicians to utilize the multitude of available campaign platforms without dragging the church's name into political disputes or scandals.
Politicians, both from the ruling parties and the opposition parties, want to take advantage and compromise the sanctity and the integrity and the dignity of the church. But we must also be categorical enough to state that the church and the state, they've existed side by side. But we've seen over time that politicians are taking advantage the cooperative role that the church provides to different stakeholders. However, what is important to note or to consider is that maybe politicians, yes, may visit these churches, and when maybe services are done, they can meet their people outside the church.
The Ministry of Agriculture has assured that national food security remains intact following coordinated surveillance and rapid response efforts that have prevented major crop damage from infestations. Ministry of Principal Public Relations Officer Balewa Hiulu attributes the success to the installation of over 2,000 pheromone traps and training of 368 agricultural extension officers equipped with digital tools. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Hiulu says that good rainfall has also contributed to suppressing pest populations as it washes off eggs and drowning larvae. He has explained that the combination of human intervention and environmental factors has contained the situation, and that government remains confident in achieving its 10 million metric tons maize production target, protecting crops for national food security.
In terms of management of four annual and integrated pest management measures that we put in place, they are not only meant for this time when the this planting window, they are meant for the entire period because our farmers are producing all year round. The management of the four annual began as early as October last year, which is 2025, with the installation of over 2,000 pheromone traps across the country. We procured about 110,000 liters of assorted low-risk pesticides. So farmers are also being sensitized on a daily basis, and the government remains committed to protecting the crops.
The Federation of Free Trade Unions of Zambia, FFTUZ, says their 700 kwacha salary increase for civil servants is reasonable, noting that it is comparatively better than increments in previous years. This follows criticism from some stakeholders who say the increment is a mockery. In an interview with Phoenix News, FFTUZ Secretary General Nelson Mwale, who was among the union representatives during the bargaining process, explains that salary increments in the civil service are determined by government's revenue streams and that the economic outlook justified limiting the increment to 700 kwacha. Mr. Mwale has, however, expressed confidence that higher salary increments will be implemented going forward, highlighting that anticipated economic growth will enable government to mobilize more revenue and, in turn, make greater allocations towards wage adjustments.
There are many issues that we are still discussing with government insofar as the plight of workers is concerned. But we are saying on comparative basis, what we got is actually better than what has been offered in the other years. But possibly, indeed, with the economy situation the way it is, I would say 700 would go anywhere. But in the comparative analysis, it's better than what we're getting, and we are optimistic that in the year we may achieve some more than what we've gotten.
Phoenix FM menu, we take a break.
You're listening to Phoenix FM.
What you doing?
Taking flight on air and online.
In global news, Japanese people are braving the snow to vote in a snap election called by Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi, whose coalition is predicted to clinch a decisive win. Takaichi called the country's first mid-winter poll in 36 years to seek a public mandate soon after winning her party's leadership race last October. Some called the move a gamble, given her Liberal Democratic Party had lost its majority in both houses of parliament and its decades-old coalition with the Komeito Party had collapsed. The BBC reports on this and other global stories.
People across Japan are braving heavy snow to vote in a snap election called by the Prime Minister, Sanae Takaichi, whose coalition is expected to clinch a decisive win if opinion polls are correct. Ms. Takaichi is seeking a clear public mandate just 4 months after becoming leader of the Liberal Democrat Party. Polls are also open in Thailand in an election called after a series of coalition governments collapsed. It pits the Conservative Party of the current Prime Minister against younger reformers of the People's Party. The chief executive of the Washington Post, Will Lewis, is stepping down days after overseeing mass layoffs. On Wednesday, the newspaper